You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
A mechanic tries to fix your car. No matter if you're near or far, he'll change your oil or fix your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
From Barrie to Port Perry, Toronto to Buffalo, take a joyride with Zoomer Radio AM 740 and the boys in Dave's Corner Garage. Coming to you from the main bay at Queen and River. Got a car question for Dave Redinger or Alan Gelman? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
I like that little banjo they played before.
Yeah, that was good, eh? The commercial for the fish insurance company. No, carp.
Carp. Make it sound like we're all a bunch of hayseeds.
Hey, good morning,
here.
Everybody. Dave's Corner Garage. And, of course, it's another boring Saturday morning here at the radio station.
We got about three hours worth of stuff to squeeze into 1 hour,
it's
Dave.
It's the only show in town. So, you know what? We're going to start you off right away. We've got Dave Whitford on the phone from the OPP. We have Norris McDonald, editor of the Wheel Section. How are you, Norris? Good morning.
Just dandy. Hey. Great to be here.
And we're going up to Ottawa. We're going to be meeting with a fellow by the name of Daryl McKinnon. Mahan. I don't know. We're going to meet Daryl.
McMahon.
That's the other Daryl's name.
That's the other Daryl, my other brother Daryl. Yeah. And we're going to talk about electric vehicles. And my brother Bob's going to call in, and we're going to talk about raising money for the bad ride. So, you know what? Why not take a little time here and get right away and get going? And we're going to talk to Dave Whitford on the phone.
Dave Whitford, how are you today, Officer Dave?
Well, I wish I could say I was good. It's been a bad week on our roads and a lot of fatalities as a result. And, you know, it's down to the basics again. Seat belts, distracted driving, speed, and drinking and driving offenses. And I think we've had them all this week. A total of about 5 people killed on the roads just in the GTA.
Oh, see, and I thought you were talking about truck rollovers again.
Not this week.
You know what, Dave?
Let that go for a bit.
Dave, you're absolutely right. Are they pressing charges? I watched a guy this week going down the street. He was obviously, you know, texting. He was looking down at his crotch, and it was the text that was, I guess, exciting. But he crossed the center line, and he was just going so bad, not paying any attention. Did they actually charge people or what?
Yeah, we are actually, Al. A lot of charges being laid, even with the speeding. Like a lot of people say, you know, that the police aren't out there enforcing the speeding charges. Mm-hmm. Over 56,000 so far this year on just OPP charges in the province. Speeding charges, you know, distracted driving charges. And next week is Canada National Road Safety Week. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be out focusing all week on the big four. The aircraft's going to be up. I know it was up yesterday on the 400 as people were heading north. And you just couldn't believe the number of vehicles they're pulling over, even at the bumper-to-bumper style traffic.
Didn't we have that problem with the helicopter not being able to get to one of the sites? The orange guys, they screwed up?
That wasn't really ours. We haven't really had that much problem with them. We request, if they're requested on the major highway, I've never had a problem with them not responding.
But that was just a fluke?
I think it was a one-time thing, you know, and it's because of, I guess, all the other problems they've had. It becomes an issue, and, you know, you can say the same thing about the OPP. All of a sudden, maybe we're tied up with a lot of crashes, and it takes us an hour to get to a call. It happens sometimes.
Mm. I got a plan for you. Instead of selling all those old police cars at the auto auctions, park them on the side of the road.
You know what? Dave, we tried that 1 year, and they end up getting ransacked. There's something. So people are going in and smashing the windows. It costs us more money to repair the thing.
I love it. Norris, go ahead.
Dave, Norris McDonald here. You know, you just I was going to ask that very question. I can remember back in the early 90s, and I believe the program went for a couple of years, particularly on long weekends, where there were decoy cars put on this under overpasses, underpasses, whatever. And, you know, I subscribe to the fact that nothing works better to get a foot off an accelerator than a police car.
Absolutely.
So any chance of bringing back that decoy program?
Well, I think if what's going to come back before probably that would be the visibility or the photo radar, I think it would be the thing, because that's a deterrent as well, because you never know where they are on the side of the road, and they're not really like marked cruisers, but they'll get the speed. But, we're limited as well as far as resources go, and pretty well all of our cruisers, we don't have a lot of them just sitting around doing nothing.
You know, it's funny.
They're out there, all of our cruisers all the time.
But like as Norris was saying, so you're talking about, you know, giving tickets to the people who are speeding. I like what Norris said, because when you see the police car, man, that foot comes off the gas pedal real quick. So even if you had decoy, like not even a real car, just take a picture.
A hologram.
A picture of Dave, exactly. Yeah. A hologram of Woody beside his cruiser. That would do it.
David.
You know what, something else we could try, maybe on billboards, put a cruiser on the billboard watching you.
100%.
And you know, you're talking about photo radio. Radar? It's really hard to figure out it's an Astro van with a light on the roof. Pointing the wrong way. It's really tough. Anyways, we wish you the best. Dave is available to you on any of the 400 series highways across Ontario. Just keep your foot down and he'll find you. David, thank you very much.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Take care. And by the way, if you get in trouble, star OPP, you text that number and they'll come and give you some help.
And we will try to take some calls today. If you've got a car care question, you're welcome to give us a shout in the studio. 416-360-0740. Again, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. Free out-of-towners.
And remember, Norris McDonald, the editor of the Wheel section, can take your calls because this guy knows everything. He's forgotten more than I've learned. We'll be right back after
this. Like they say, big wheels keep on turning. Proud Mary keep on burning.
Hard tops in Halton and pickups in Peterborough. Put it on the hoist in Dave's Corner Garage on Zoomer Radio AM 740.
Ask the girl what she wanted to be. She
That's
said,
your song? I brought this from last week. We had some great music on last week. I brought them along.
Okay. Let's just a second.
Don't break it to Paul and John that I didn't write this song, though. Right?
My car. Bum, 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 bum. Okay, welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. By the way, we have a new sponsor, QDFC, which is Quantum Dealer Finance. If you're a little garage or a little used car lot and you need some working capital, phone these guys or contact these guys.
QDFC.
QDFC.ca. Mm-hmm. Nice people. I love them. And we're going to talk. My kids will say, Bob's your uncle. And as a matter of fact, Bob is their uncle. It's my brother Bob on the phone. And he's trying to raise money for the Bad Ride, which was in the Wheels section today, Auto Date. And Norris actually wrote this call. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. Norris, the author of the column in the Toronto Wheels section today is here.
I edit it. The information is sent in.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Bob, tell us about the Bad Ride.
Well, I appreciate you putting me on. For your listeners,
I've been trying to put you on for the last 40 years.
We've never been serious. You know, we're always trying to put you on.
For your listeners that ride bikes and those that don't, this is a great cause. It marries the husband, whose name is Stan Latosky, who's the biker, and his wife, Karen, who runs the Toronto Distress Centers, and they put their two loves together. And the ride takes place at the end of May, May the 27th, last Sunday, and they get about 500 to 1,000 riders every year.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a lot of famous people involved. Andy Frost, who's the voice of the Leafs, Darcy Tucker, Mark Tway, a celebrity chef, and Mike Bullard, who's a celebrity on his own right.
These guys all ride bikes, obviously.
Some of them do.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I didn't know you could be in a sidecar.
Yes, you can.
So, Bob, how much money do they raise?
They raise well over $200,000 a year.
Wow. Okay, that's
good. And every dollar goes to run the Toronto Distress Centers.
Fascinating. So we're going to, the ride is on the 27th. If they want to get involved, they contact the Bad Ride, I guess?
Yes, it's thebadride.com.
Right.
Like B like Bob, A like Alan, D like Dave.
Yeah. Ah.
Thebadride.com.
I'm glad you cleared that up because you talked about this, you know, bikers against despair. Personally, I hate run flat tires, and I thought despair was the best thing they should have kept in the trunk. Okay. But, so I appreciate you clearing that up. It's not despair tire.
No.
Yes, it's the mentally despair.
Now, Bob, you're also on a personal quest here. You're trying to raise 10 grand.
Yes, correct. And I'm close, and if some of your listeners could help, that would be great.
Okay, how do we do that?
If you go to thebadride.com and you type in my name, Bob Redinger, that's like red finger without the F.
You notice he's a Redinger and I'm a Redinger.
I didn't know that.
Because I was born a little bit earlier than he was. Go ahead.
And if you go there, you'll see my picture, and you can donate.
All right, good. So it's Bad Ride, Bikers Against Despair, 50th Anniversary Charity Motorcycle Ride at the Distress Center. Where does it start from?
It starts from 407
okay.
at the Dave & Buster's.
Good. So we're going to have you on again next week to remind the folks, and then maybe we'll do a call-in from the ride. We'll get that stuff up.
Bob, good luck with the ride. Good luck with your own donations, and it's a great thing to do it for. I appreciate it.
Everybody does. Here. It's a lot of good work there.
All right.
Thanks, Bobby.
Same here. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.
All right, 416-360-0740 is the phone numbers. You want to take a call, Dave?
Yep, we'll take a phone call, so we'll get Norris to answer them.
All right, quickly, we're going to go to Bob. Another Bob. He's in Toronto. He's got some kind of question about tires, I'm guessing. What do you got, Bob?
Well, this is your cousin, Bob.
Oh, yeah, how you doing, Bob?
You had them all on, right? Anyway, about tires, I've got two older cars, a 2002 and 4, the original tires, low mileage, and I'm trying to pick up some tires for them. Now, when you go to these dealers, they're all pushing the high end, like Michelin and all the Coopers and Hancock. But I was wondering about the lower ends, like something like maybe Walmart, the Nexen, or maybe some of the South Korean tires.
Like even Hercules and those guys, right?
Yeah, they seem to have the same characteristics, and they all seem to have the same pros and cons. So, but, you know, when you go for a tire, you're paying $60, $70 for it to get rid of your tire and get it installed and everything else, so over and above. So I was looking for a cheaper tire.
Well, it's Norris McDonald here. We have a tire expert at the Toronto Star Wheels and wheels.ca, John Mahler, and he is a walking encyclopedia of everything that's good about tires. But one thing that seems to be pretty constant in everything that he does when it comes to tires, he talks about the high end, he talks about the low end. It's just about the way it is with everything. He says try to find a tire that's in the middle. Middle price, middle all the rest of it, and you can't go wrong that way.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and it can be tailored to what your particular use is. You know, if you're the type of person that's not speeding, you're easy on the gas pedal, on the brake pedal, you're not going to be beaten up on that thing. You're right. You could go with a more, let's call it value-priced tire. Not necessarily the cheapest thing on the road, but you're right. Why should you go to the highest, most expensive tire that you're never going to really gain any benefits from?
Did you know that some of these cars are limited to speed because the tires can't take the strain? So, like, if you have a high-end sports car and you can put a cheap tire on it, you're really endangering your life.
The other thing, too, I want people to realize, I've seen it recently with lease cars. If you go to a lesser or cheap tire, okay, and you replace them, when you give it back to the leasing company, when you give it back to the manufacturer,
Get out of here.
Sorry. This car came with V-rated tires, and you don't have V-rated tires on, you got to change them.
Get out of here.
Yeah. They're very stingy that way, so you got to be careful.
So you know what? We didn't answer your question, but it was a great conversation.
I thought I answered it quite well, as a matter of fact, and so did Norris. You were the guy who messed it up. Don't be passing the buck here, Dave. All right, Bob, did we help you or confuse you?
Well, you confused me, but anyway, that's not unusual. But, you know, when you go to your manual and you go by what the dealer says, they're all pushing their own products, so, and they're expensive. So I'm wondering what, you know, like if there's touring tires, there's rain tires, there's every kind of tire you can think of, but it's very confusing.
All right, great. You know, if people want to write into the fellow,
absolutely, start. John Mahler, have your question, send it to wheels.ca. Wheels.ca is the email address.
Exactly, and he's going to be unbiased.
Wheels,
totally.
Pardon me, wheels@thestar.ca, and I'll get it to John.
Why don't you do that? He don't got a tire store, and he ain't doesn't represent a manufacturer, so he's going to give you good advice. All right, take care, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for the call. Okay, that's interesting stuff. By the way, Carol Shelby passed away Friday. 89 years old.
89.
You wrote an article about him just now.
Absolutely. I posted a tribute on my blog last night. 2 years ago at the Canadian Motorsport Hall of Fame.
That's right.
Night at the Toronto Auto Show. Great night. 40 of Carroll Shelby's racing cars and city street cars were there. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame. He was up here with Bob Bondurant. Just a charming guy. Just such an incredible. You know what he said? He said, at the end of the day, I'm just a hot rodder. That's what I do. I'm a hot rodder. This man was one of two originals in the 20th century as far as the automotive industry is concerned. Mickey Thompson was the first one. You know, he was the guy that put the driver behind. Remember, invented the slingshot dragster back in California in 1953.
Well, they say Don Garlitz was involved in that.
Well, no, Garlitz came along after.
Okay.
Seriously.
Now, the other part of that was he was a heart transplant recipient.
1999. And he ran a foundation in support of children who need heart transplants. And on top of everything else, with all his ticker trouble all his life, he loved nothing more than eating hot chili. and he used to have a big chili cook-off contest in Texas every year.
Exactly.
And
right.
It's a wonder it didn't kill him before it did.
I remember he was a winner of Le Mans in
1959.
He even took pills during a race in Riverside because he was getting a heart attack. So he took the pills.
He had to get the nitroglycerin into him.
Maybe it was a heartburn from the chili.
Well, it might have been.
May have been.
But teamed up with the Ford Motor Company in 1965.
Yeah, his friend was...
Dominated Le Mans. Won it himself. And there we went.
Him and Iacocca were good buddies. And
that's right. Iacocca gave him the money to get going.
So Carol wouldn't be buying them cheap tires because he'd peel them off in no time at all, eh?
Fascinating guy. I was at the museum in Las Vegas. They gave us a tour, and I met all the staff there.
They let you out?
I wanted to stay. Really interesting
stuff. I thought they wanted to keep you. You're getting so old, you know.
All righty, we'll be back on that note. And when we come back, we might even be going to Ottawa.
416.
The electrical folks.
360-0740. We'll be back, and we're going to charge up your life.
Here we go.
Today's special guest on Dave's Corner Garage is a proud sponsor of the show. You figure it out.
Oh, I like this.
I picked it.
This is good.
Low rider.
All my friend. The low rider.
They don't make low riders. But it's very good English. They don't make road low riders. Go forget about it. Anyways, welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage. And you know what? We're going to go right away. We're going to talk to Daryl McMahon. He's the younger cousin of
Ed McMahon,
of course. Ed McMahon of The Tonight Show. And Daryl's out there in Ottawa with the Electric Vehicle Expo. Daryl, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. We have the weather this year.
Yeah.
What happened? Did it snow last year or what?
Last year, we had a monsoon. It started raining here right at setup time, and it rained all day until we docked down and half an hour later.
Yeah, but you don't have any Jaguars there, so it doesn't make a difference if it don't start or not.
No. And the electric cars all run in the rain just fine, so we have to prove that, which we didn't have as much of an audience to see it as it looked like.
I wonder if somebody ever got an electrical short from an electrical car because it was raining.
I don't know.
Not to the best of my knowledge.
of course, a lot of people worry, can you take an electric car through a car wash?
Yeah, there's an interesting one.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we'll do it again.
Norris at McDonald's here from the Wheel Sections. He's the editor of the paper. They have a big article this morning on electric vehicles.
And, Daryl, I have a couple of quick questions. I mean, I take it that your Electric Vehicle Expo is on in Ottawa right now as we speak?
That's correct. I'm actually walking down the line right now. I'm right beside our line of conversion cars.
Okay.
The members have converted to electric.
Daryl, maybe you could just stop and stay in one place because your cell phone is fading in and out here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell me very quickly. I have three questions that I want to ask you. As far as the general population looking at electric cars. Number one, how am I going to be able to drive to Vancouver in an electric car that has a limited range? What is going to happen to make that possible in the future?
Well, I don't want to drive to Vancouver. I did it once. I don't want to do it again. Frankly, when we're going to look at that
race, you're fading. You're fading right in and out.
Okay.
Okay. How about this?
Stay right there.
Okay. So, people really don't want, in general, to do that long drive. I think probably what we're looking at is people are going to fly those long distances, and then we'll be renting an electric car at the other end. And we'll use that to be able to bring
people. So basically, you're saying the car.
Electric cars here in the lot right now, they'll be 400 kilometers on a charge.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. You've answered that question. But say I'm just driving around Ottawa or driving around Toronto. What about the charging stations that are going to have to be installed just about everywhere? Like you can find a gas station on a lot of corners. What about the infrastructure? Is government going to have to spend more money to get those things installed?
I don't think so. What I'm seeing right now is, one, people have been driving electric cars. I've been doing this for 30 years, so I have a little experience. We've been doing it without charging stations for 30 years because charging at home and charging at work, where we generally install our own regular electrical outlets for charging the vehicle, is sufficient. So it's when we get them, so few people who are going to want to try to use them you know, for long distance, long haul driving. Like, we don't expect to see battery electric as classic long haul rigs. That's not supposed to be a proper application. A lot of electric vehicles used primarily in the cities where the pollution levels are a big problem. And our electrical grid is ubiquitous. It's everywhere in our city. So I found all kinds of ways to
a terrible cell phone call.
Yeah, unfortunately, you're just not fading. You're not coming through. I'm going to ask you one more question, and and you just said you've been driving electric cars for 30 years, so you're going to remember this. Back in the 70s, there was a big push on to have houses heated by electricity, and that lasted for about 2 years because everybody who did convert found that they were paying through the nose for their electricity. Is there a fear that this may happen again if you have a significant number of people converting to electric cars and plugging them in when they're home at night?
I don't think it's going to be a big problem. The amount of power that the electric car uses when it's charging is actually pretty small.
Oh, we lose them again.
On the line of a clothes dryer. So, if energy is a good electric car to use.
Yeah, that's kind of too bad.
We lost them, yeah.
You know,
It's interesting. One thing he just said about electricity, mm-hmm. they discovered in California that all the people that sort of buy electric cars sort of live in one area. Mm-hmm. When they all plug them in, they brown out because the transformers are not designed for that kind of power.
Well, you're absolutely right. But we're talking about today. You know, I don't want to sound like I'm a big proponent of electric cars, but I do think that there is going to be a future for electric cars as far as the evolution of more fuel-efficient automobiles and living better as far as our, you know, commitment to fossil fuels and the rest of it. So I think electric cars are going to be in there. I think hydrogen is going to be in there. Nobody's talking about that anymore.
No.
And yet there's potential. Natural gas, they're going to find a better way to get it out of the ground than the fracking they have to do now, which is terrible for the environment. But they're going to find a way to do that. More fuel-efficient vehicles, the clean diesel European vehicles are still going to start coming into North America. So I think that there's going to be a you know, the electric cars will be a niche. But right now, yeah, there's a lot of suspicion.
I think, as Daryl said, though, I think, you know, 90% of the people's use is to get to work and back, you know, as a city type of car. And you know, so
that makes sense.
You're not going to need a big honking V8 gas engine under the hood.
400 kilometers of charge. Let's go to the phones. We're going to talk to Maureen. She's been hanging on for quite a while. Maureen, I apologize for keeping you late. But
how are you today, Maureen?
I'm fine, thank you.
Great. Excellent. What can we do for you?
I have a 2010 Buick LaCrosse, and the blind spots on it aren't very good for an older lady. And when I park my car, I always have to drive through. I don't like backing up. So I'm wondering if I had a backup camera installed, would that screw up the computer?
No, not at all. Well, it depends who does it. I mean, if you really put your mind to it, you could mess up the computer. But no, it should have nothing to do with it all.
Nothing at all.
No, all it's taking from your car is basically a 12-volt signal when the backup lights come on. And we just did one the other day, as a matter of fact, and it came out quite well.
How much is that?
Well, the actual units are only about $150 for a backup camera.
And install it?
I would say maybe the same or a little bit less.
Oh, really?
Yep.
And I can have that done anywhere? Because my mechanic said that it might screw up the computer.
No, I think your mechanic's wrong.
No way.
In fact, I can promise you your mechanic's wrong. And I can also tell you, don't let him put it in.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he's just trying to scare you. There's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't be able to put it in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
You know, it's funny you mentioned something, though, but he said it would screw up the computer. There's talk now that there would be viruses in cars pretty soon.
Oh.
Like there are viruses in IBM.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, it just makes sense. I mean, hopefully not, but
yeah,
don't be surprised.
Talk, because cars are now interacting with the web. And if there's an interaction with the web, there's a chance a car can get a virus.
Well, would it be better to have that not the backup camera, but the one that makes the noise, whatever that's called?
No, because that's always too late when you hear that.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, go ahead.
The next noise you hear is...
Maureen, go ahead with the camera. You got nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, what part of town are you in?
I'm in Etobicoke.
Okay. Lots of people out there, I'm sure, will be glad to do it for you.
Yeah.
I can just go to Canadian Tire and they can do it.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
All righty.
All righty.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Take care.
Interesting call. My wife has a backup camera in her car.
Uh-huh.
And she uses it digitally just as she runs the over it.
Like, actually, we got a new
car.
Make
sure she can hit it.
We got a new car, which has it installed.
Jeez, I almost missed it.
But the funny part is where it says, do not depend on this camera. Please turn your head around and give it a shake.
But you can't look out. You got the headrest. You got all that junk in the back window. And you can't see out.
You mean so not? You don't have to be an older person to not see out. Anybody.
I mean, they got these
a blind spot is a blind spot.
Yeah, exactly. Look, you know the new cars, like the Rover Evoque.
Mm-hmm.
The back window's like 3 inches high.
Right.
How do you see out of that?
They're great. Let's just say they're great.
Okay.
You know, and you know where they're best? The big motorhomes.
Yeah.
You know, oh gosh.
You scared me. I mean, the cameras are great. I thought you were doing your own car. You know, the Evoque. Oh my God. He was evoking something in me when he said that.
All right, we're moving right along
Land
here.
Cruiser.
And we're going to take a quick break
as we're moving ahead.
Yeah, we come back. We talk to Mike and Harold, George and Francis. Right after these messages, we'll be right back.
Clunker in Kitchener, car query in Collingwood. Call Dave's Corner Garage and get it resolved. To reach Dave and Allen on Zoomer Radio AM 740.
That should be our theme song.
Do you know what, Dave? Before we get to that call, this song is called I Can Help.
Yes.
And we can help, but you have to ask for help prior to making the commitment.
Okay, now we're going to hear the story about this guy that bought a car.
It's a short one, but I had a guy in this week who bought a car. He paid for it, and he made the transaction at a donut shop. And he got it up the wahoo so bad, okay? And I'm not talking fish here, okay? He realized as soon as he went to do the transfer that the car had 150Ks more than what he thought it had. But it's too late. It's too late, baby. You got to do it before.
You buy from a dealer, you've got recourse.
You've got some protection, exactly. Yeah. There's a compensation fund. There are rules. There are regulations. But you buy privately, you on your own, baby.
I had a friend of mine bought a pair of shoes that were too tight, but they were a deal.
All right, where are we going, Dave?
Anne, I think.
We're going to speak to Anne, calling all the way from Simcoe. Has got a concern. There you go, about mileage. What's your question, Anne?
My husband and I have been looking at a used 2003 GMC Sierra.
Okay.
And it's been really well looked after. Like, we know the person that's had it. But it's got 300,000 Ks.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if that's a concern, and also, like, about a ballpark price.
Well, for $1,000, how could you go wrong?
Pardon?
That was a joke. How much are they asking for this vehicle?
$5,000.
That's not bad. Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
Pardon?
You think for a vehicle with that many Ks on it?
Yeah, I don't think. You know what? We service Hondas mainly. I've got Hondas with 1,000,000 kilometers, and the little buggers are still running around. Okay.
It's not a Honda,
but it's a Chevy.
Yeah.
It's a General Motors product.
Yeah.
So you think the bow tie be lasting 300,000?
I think so.
I
think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, the one thing you can do, Ann, and I'm sure you're the people you're buying it from, especially since they're friends, they're not going to mind if you get the vehicle checked before you buy it. Okay. Obviously, it's going to have to be safety tested. It's going to have to be
tested. Yeah.
And if your friends have service records, and if they've actually taken care of it, like they say, you know, fluids all change on a regular basis, and tires and brakes, and if everything is good, then personally, I think the five is a little bit high, but
Anne,
yes.
You live in the country, right?
Pardon?
You live in the country.
Well, sort of, yeah.
Okay. It's 30,000 kilometers a year that this truck's been putting on, 32,000, 33,000 Ks a year. That's not a lot of mileage.
No.
Right? And it's used on a regular basis. Make sure it's passed emissions. Make sure.
Yeah, that's all been done.
Okay. Make sure that your guy has a look underneath and that it's all solid. Right?
Right.
And off from $2,500. Nobody's going to buy it other than you because he loves you. So $2,500, $3,000 tops, and you own the truck.
Okay.
All right, Ann?
Thank you very much.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with it.
I told you the price was too high.
Yeah. Okay. What are we going to talk about? I forgot. Oh, yeah. Norris McDonald has got two of these electric cars you're running around.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. We've got a Nissan Leaf
and
a Chevy Volt. on loan for 6 months to Wheels and Wheels.ca at the Toronto Star.
For our listeners, if they may not know, the Leaf is a full electric car.
Full electric car with a range limit.
Mm-hmm.
And the Volt is an almost electric car. I mean, it's an electric car. It's not like a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
It does have kind of the gas fail-safe that kicks in at a certain point, gets the alternator going, it charges the battery, but the engine does not, the gasoline does not propel the car.
Right. But, you were talking about range anxiety, and here's a perfect example of where you run out of juice with the Leaf, and you're at the side of the road, where the Volt will never let you stranded.
Well, that's true. But on the other hand, Nissan points out correctly that this is essentially a city car.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to our discussion with Daryl McMahon. This is a city car where people are going to go to the grocery store, take their kids to Brownies, just do things in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so consequently, you don't have to worry about the range anxiety. I think it's fascinating. Our reporters have been driving these cars. Our photographers were driving these cars. In fact, the editor-in-chief, Michael Cook, loves the Leaf. Mm-hmm. Seems to have it all the time.
Well, for the most part.
You know what, in Toronto, we love the Leafs too, but they usually run out of juice by October.
They run out of juice in February.
They leave you stranded.
He had a wonderful time. He had to go to Ottawa the other day, out to the airport, did valet parking, looked at the range, said, holy geez, I'm down to 15 Ks, but he had to catch his plane. When he came back, it was fully charged because the valet parking has facilities to charge up electric cars. No kidding.
Also, so there is infrastructure here
already. There is in the strangest place that you wouldn't think about it. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that there is a future. I think there's a great future. As I say, we're having a great time with these two cars. Thanks to GM. Thanks to Nissan for doing this. Our photographers love it. Our reporters love it. We have, as a matter of fact, one of the reporters this weekend has the car out, and he's a hockey player, so he's got all his equipment and sticks in and stuff like that, because a lot of people are worried about, with the battery size, whether they can get everything that they're used to get into the car. So we're testing all of that stuff.
But, Norris, these cars were on loan. They were given to you.
Yeah,
during the break we were talking about what's the purchase price of one of these babies.
And I was
going
to say, if I have a personal quibble about the electric car movement, I think if the manufacturers really want to sell these cars, they got to bring the price down. Because right now, both of these cars, even with the rebate from the Ontario government, mm-hmm. you're looking at $30,000.
Well, that was the original part with the hybrids.
Right.
What was the payback with the price of gasoline and everything else? First off, gas prices are going to continue to rise, mm-hmm. so that payback is faster.
That's true.
But the hybrids have come way down. I mean, you can buy a little Prius now for really cheap
money. And there you go. So the price is going to have to come down before people are really going to be interested in it. But there's so many other questions, though, Dave, because, if so many people start to do this and start charging their cars at night, what's that going to do to the price of electricity?
Yes, and brownouts. We're talking about California brownouts. And the other thing I was going to say was Kia came out with a hybrid. It got 3.1 liters per 100 kilometers. I mean, that's like nothing. It's like you drive for free. So why would you even bother going the other way?
Well, again, it depends on your complete commitment as far as your concern about the future of the planet is concerned.
Green is bunk.
Absolutely.
You heard it here first.
No, it's not bunk, but it's not the be-all and end-all either.
I agree.
It's just like the discussion we're having about tires.
Yeah.
There's some place in the middle that everybody has to meet.
Do you remember all the excitement about Y2K and all that stuff?
I know.
And all the machines.
The world was going to come to an end.
Right.
There's more people made more money out of fixing all the computers that didn't need fixing at the turn of the century.
Well, because the last shot for DOS.
Yeah.
If you know DOS, that was your last kick at the can. Okay, let's go back to the phones, and we're talking to Mike, and Mike's got a problem with a distributor. What's going on, Mike?
Yes, hi. I'd like to know how important it is to change a distributor cap.
Oh, really? It is.
What kind of car are you driving, Mike?
91 Camry.
Well, what happens to the caps is that, it is a plastic or Bakelite material, and they are affected by, everything that's going on underneath the hood. What things that happen to a cap, though, aside from the actual plastic deteriorating over a period of time, is you've got a carbon pin on the inside of the distributor cap, okay? And that's where it makes contact with the actual rotor. That's the piece inside, of course, that turns around. And I worked for Volkswagen many years ago, and what we used to see after a long period of time is that dust would collect underneath the cap, and then all of a sudden you had a starting problem. So you are able to lift off the cap, clean it out nicely, and carry on with that. Dave?
Usually they turn brown inside. And what that is ozone. It actually will build up an ozone layer inside the cap because of all those electrical sparking going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that will sometimes even cause the rotor to short out. And one day you'll come in there and it goes, eh-eh.
They generally last a long time. But what I'm going to suggest here, especially, you know, you're not changing it all that often, is go with a premium part. I would go back to the dealer and get an original equipment one.
Right.
I find in a lot of cases it really is necessary. We had some problem with some GMs for a while where they were coming in from offshore and they were crapping out after a very short period of time.
Do you have a problem with offshore parts? Like,
yes.
You know? Yeah, I should talk about that. You know, when we're a Napa dealer. And we have two choices of parts. There's either the Napa box from the supplier, or is what's called white box, which is a little bit less warranty, but usually the same quality parts. But in the business, you can buy parts with no box, right? It's off the back of a truck, or it's off the back thing, and it's a deal. It's always a deal.
Well, you know, getting back to what Norris was saying about tires, I'm okay if someone says to me, here, this is how much it's going to cost, and this is sort of what the quality is. But when they can't tell me, or if they're lying to me, that's when I have a big problem.
Yeah.
Because if I choose to go with the cheapest part and it fails, well, hey, whose fault is it? It's my own fault. Okay? But if I'm depending on a manufacturer or a distributor or a supplier to tell me what the quality of that part is. Because as a repair person, as a guy who runs his own business, my customer depends on my advice, on my good work. And if I can't, you know, provide the customer with that satisfaction, with that value, then what good is it?
Now, I'll give you one more hint.
Go ahead.
Michael, one more hint, and that is lubricate the bolts on the cap before you start to take it off. Like maybe a couple of days before, shoot a little penetrating oil on there just to make sure that bolt doesn't snap. Otherwise, you're pulling the distributor drill, not the hole, putting the washer in.
And now that we've talked about distributor caps that cars haven't had for the last
150 years. Yeah, we don't have caps anymore.
All right, well, you know what? Let's go to Harold.
We
could go to Harold, but unfortunately we are here to music, so we're going to have to take a break. We do have a line open if somebody's got a car care question. We could talk about caps. We could talk about the distributor caps. We could talk about hubcaps. We could talk about the little green caps that
Did
you put.
Did I tell you I had my tooth capped? They capped my tooth. I tell you about that.
You're kidding. 416-360-0740.
God, did that hurt.
1-866-740-4740. We'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
From the gas guzzler in Grimsby to the hot rod in Halliburton, you're tuned up and tuned in to Dave's Corner Garage on Zoomer Radio AM 740.
Ah,
we were just talking about hairstyles and getting your teeth fixed. All right. And John Travolta, I understand. Somebody's claiming that he did some bad stuff. Well, this was from the movie. What is that?
Nobody can
called?
See it. Alan, you got to get off the table.
You're right,
there.
Right. Okay. Not a lot of visuals here on the radio.
Let's get on the phones right away. We're going to talk with Harold on
Harold
his Cadillac.
Harold and his 97 Cadillac. What's the problem, Harold?
1997 Cadillac DeVille. You put it in park no matter how long you've driven it or it runs, and it shuts off.
Oh. All right.
Yeah, but you're finished driving it anyways. Yeah. Let's move on to our next question.
That's what the mechanic told me already, but I thought, you know, what if, you know, your valet picks it up, shuts off. It's a little annoying.
So it shuts off immediately? You put it in park and it shuts right off?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm thinking it's got to be. When you actually move the shift lever into that park position, do you see the key and lock move at all?
No, it's in the same position.
Okay. And see, I'm thinking, hey, because the ignition switch obviously is in the column.
Absolutely.
So I'm thinking as you move it, it's going to have to change.
You know what? I had a Caddy once. They use what's called as a single bus line. There's one data line going down the center of the car, and all these computers are hooked up to that one data line. And you probably have a short somewhere. So when you engage the park, something's happening, like transmission switch is engaging, and that's shorting the data line.
Does the car start right?
It wouldn't be the idle sensor, would it?
No. Wouldn't be that at all.
This could be a real serious issue for you.
Well, it won't be serious because I'm not going to fix it then.
Well, that's perfect. But I had one that sort of happened. You start the car and it would stall. It turned out to be a short in the passenger seat.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was because the wife had short feet and they had to pull the seat up all the time, he actually shorted the wire out, and that would cause the computers to short out because it all goes through one data bus.
Mm. Well, you may be right because the electric heated seat is shorted out.
Ah.
And my wife has short legs.
There you go. That's the problem. Get a new wife.
Your short wife was the cause of the electrical short in the car. And,
so I think you've got a more serious problem here. You probably have a short somewhere in the data bus.
Time for a new bus. That's what I'm thinking.
Don't worry about it, right, guys?
That's
it. Yeah, I think so. I'm surprised it's still running because usually those motors blow head gaskets and they're out of there anyways.
Well, like I said, when you put it in park, you're finished driving anyways.
That's
there you
right.
go.
So I'm a happy guy. Thanks, there. Guys.
Great, Harold.
Sorry to keep you waiting, Harold. Take care.
Okay, well, do you know what? We're getting close to the end. I just want to quickly add, Norris is the racing guy. You're a big race fan.
I've been racing and writing about racing forever and ever.
Well, I watched some NASCAR stuff, and this weekend tonight, as a matter of fact, we got Under the Lights at Darlington.
That's right. Danica at Darlington.
And Greg Biffle's got the pole. He's sort of come out of nowhere, hasn't he? He's ahead of the lead there.
I was going to say that Greg Biffle is one of these guys that is not Jimmy Johnson. Mm-hmm. He's not Dale Earnhardt Jr., but he's always there, and he's always lurking.
Steady.
And if you take your eyes off him for a moment, he's going to be where he is,
and
number
think,
one.
Is Little E going to get the 200th win for Hendricks today?
Well, he's going to have to get a win sometime. It's been, what, 5 or 6 years? I'm
in
only exaggerating.
Races.
You know what is amazing to me, though, is how many fans that guy still has.
Well, but wait a sec. He is the consummate race driver. He's very, very talented. Mm-hmm. He's very fast. He's a young guy still. He's good looking. He has a racing heritage 400 miles long. He is the surviving driver of the most popular driver in NASCAR.
Yes, that's true.
Surviving son rider of the most popular driver in NASCAR history. And I'll tell you, that's why he does business with Danica Patrick, who's right up to, as far as popularity,
mm-hmm.
Little E and Danica have a lock on it.
Yeah, yeah. Good businessman.
Yeah, but absolutely. I think he's been driving like a girl.
I saw him, it was a couple years ago, they won the Nationwide event. He was driving a car that was painted up in his dad's old colors, the Wrangler.
It looked exactly like the, right? And wasn't that a coincidence?
Yeah, that he happened to win the race. I wonder if that was a fix. The fix was in, baby.
Speaking of nostalgia, the music
call.
Is playing in our
ear.
Oh,
okay.
Dave, we had a great show as usual.
Yeah, we got to thank Norris McDonald from the wheels section.
Great being here.
Yeah, you know, you finish it on Wednesdays. That's why we didn't talk about Carol Shelby earlier. But the wheels section is the most popular automotive section in the country.
And in North America. Don't kid. The original and still the biggest and still the best.
There you go. Keep the shiny side up. Oh, goodbye, Alan.
And please, you know, we talked about early driving safely. Stay in the right lane. Put the phone down. Shut it off. Don't text. Please.
There you go. Keep the shiny side up, the greasy side down. We'll see you here next week with another great show. Talk to you later. Bye-bye,
bye-bye
everybody.
Everyone.
Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.